256-0250.
And welcome to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, October 17th, and we have a great show lined up for you today. We'll talk to Juno Douglas Little Theater about their 24-hour miracle happening this Saturday. We'll talk to Bill Merck. He'll talk to us about Friday's Grand Poetry Slam. That's right, the end of the season, all the best of the best. And we'll talk to members from the Juno String Ensemble about their recent travels to China. Really looking forward to that. And as with every Thursday, we will hear from Nancy DeCherney with Arts Up. Writer's Almanac, more here on KTOO Juno Afternoon. And before we get started with our first guest, we'll hear National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. U.S. Secretary of the Interior Department Sally Jewell welcomed back employees as the department opened for business today. Limited services were being provided since the October 1st shutdown of the federal government, including some in Indian Affairs. About a third of Indian Affairs employees were furloughed. The impact of the shutdown varied among tribes. Lawmakers that represent Native communities voiced concerns, like North Dakota Senator Heidi Heitkamp. She said on the Senate floor last week that the Spirit Lake Nation was limited to one officer per shift to patrol the more than 200,000-acre reservation. And she said because of the shutdown, a mother from the Sisseton-Wahpeton community who recently lost a child was turned away for burial assistance. Tribal leaders and national Native organizations are concerned about sequestration and the debt limit. They're urging Congress to reach a long-term budget solution. A Lakota woman is helping raise funds for those who lost livestock in South Dakota. Jim Kent reports.
Alex Romero Frederick is a Lakota wife and mother. She's also a Lakota rancher and has been around cattle and horses all her life. Although Romero Frederick wasn't hit badly by the state's recent snowstorm, she became concerned about other ranchers, Native and non-Native, who had severe livestock losses.
A lot of people lost their income with their livestock dying, you know, horses, cows, sheep, even goats. I was thinking about it, you know, if I lost even a few head of cows, that would have a whole impact on my whole year, let alone hundreds of head. And so I thought, I didn't know if anybody was going to do anything. I figured they would, but I thought I would do my part or try to do something to help people out.
Romero Frederick set up a donation site prior to news that the South Dakota Cattlemen's Association, South Dakota Stock Growers Association, and the South Dakota Sheep Growers Association had established the South Dakota Rancher Relief Fund. Romero Frederick's Western South Dakota Ranchers Relief Fund is on the Indiegogo.com site. All funds collected by Romero Frederick's donation site will be forwarded to the South Dakota Rancher Relief Fund. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
Many Native leaders in Canada agree with the United Nations assessment that the country is not adequately addressing needs of Indigenous communities. Dan Karpinchuk has more.
The assessment from UN Special Rapporteur James Anaya was that Canada is not doing enough to tackle the social and economic problems faced by its large Aboriginal population. Anaya traveled to six provinces meeting with Native leaders, people in Native communities, and government officials. He concluded his tour this week saying First Nations in Canada are beset by poverty, poor housing, and high unemployment. In fact, he didn't have much good to say about the situation. Manitoba Grand Chief Derek Nepenak agrees.
There's a crisis that exists here amongst First Nations people and amongst our communities across the board from one shore to the next. And I think that the rapporteur picked up on that, and I think he really made that point very strong. We need to see the reconciliation efforts really stepped up and move beyond some of the popular rhetoric that this government continues to put out with respect to its relationship with us.
The UN representative also said the economic gap between Natives and non-Natives hasn't narrowed, and treaty and land claims are still unresolved. Nepenak and other Native leaders have also said various levels of government have not been properly consulting them before approving the exploitation of natural resources on lands that Native people consider theirs. And opposition critics in the Canadian Parliament say Anaya's report is evidence of a hard-hearted Conservative government attitude towards First Nations. One critic says Prime Minister Stephen Harper's government's adversarial approach to a host of First Nations issues has created conflict and distrust rather than reconciliation and better lives. For National Native News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk.
This month, Urban Native radio station KNBA celebrates its 17th anniversary. It signed on air in Anchorage, Alaska in 1996. This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser, and I'm so lucky and so excited, actually, to have two people that I really, really like in the studio. I mean, I like everybody, but in the studio with me right now is Jeff Kirsch and Amy O'Neill Hauk, and they're here to talk to us about the Juno Douglas Little Theater 24-hour miracle happening this weekend. Hi, thanks for coming.
Hi. Hi.
Yeah, thank you for having us on yet again. K2 has had us on a lot. They've been playing our EPSAs. It's really great. K2, really supportive.
Yeah, and it's so, you know, a 24-hour miracle. What you take on over this weekend actually is a little bit of a miracle. So can you explain, Jeff, the process of what actually happens?
Yeah, real quick. So it's a 24-hour theater challenge, I think, is the way that I've, over the years, have come to describe it as quickly as possible. So, you know, at 8 p.m. tomorrow night, a theme will be selected, literally will be picked out of a hat. And then there are four teams. Each team has a writer, a director, and a number of actors. Then the writer goes home, has from 8 p.m. Friday night till 8 a.m. Saturday morning to write his or her script, and then gives the script over. And then the director and the actors have from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. to stage it and rehearse it and produce it, basically. And then there's four new plays performed at 8 p.m. on Saturday.
It's really it's gangbusters. It's go, 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 go. And so, Amy, you are writing a script.
Yes.
Yes, and is this your first time?
For this
particular miracle.
Yes.
Yes. How are you feeling about that?
I'm feeling excited and terrified.
I mean, you're not unfamiliar to writing, though.
No, not at all. It's fun to have a challenge and to be given a theme. It's always fun to kind of write to a prompt, so I'm really looking forward to that. I think the part that, you know, when Jeff asked me, the part that scared me the most is being productive in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, as time goes on, like, I find myself looking forward less and less to staying awake all night either. But, you know, it is very quiet. Like, it's very quiet. I mean, even during the day, and I write from home, but it's not even quite, you know, there's construction and chainsaws and, like, cars coming around and phone calls and, like, all kinds of stuff, you know. But literally in the middle of it, there's nothing happening. It's just you and it's dark and it's kind of – I like that. So, I don't know.
Occasional bear scare here and
right.
there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, if you're inside, hopefully there's not going to be
– bears. Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, but I don't know.
So, Amy, what kind of writing have you – you know, do you usually do? And is dialogue kind of a foreign subject to you or
– Yes and no. I write personal essays, and so I write often from memory. And so I don't recreate dialogue, but I also, you know, I write feature stories for The Empire and the Capital City Weekly. Sometimes, you know, there's dialogue there, but it's something that I really like to cultivate, you know, just by listening and, you know, recording, and it's something that I'm excited to be working on more.
Yeah. So, Jeff, you have four playwrights, is that correct?
Yep, we got four playwrights, and we have four directors. In fact, this year, one of the writers is actually directing her own play, Heather Laverne. She's young. She has got lots of energy. She's like, I want to do the whole thing. And so I say, go for it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what that one is about. We've got a lot of actors. I think I should probably mention that if people were still interested in signing up to act, that they can. If they were not necessarily interested in signing up to act, it's still a really great thing to come out and see. you know, we've had so many incredible plays. I mean, some of the plays have gone on. I had a couple at Last Frontier Theater Festival, Karma Theater Conference, and some of the other ones have been brought back. We, JDLT, used to have a playwright contest. We had some of those that came back that way. So, I don't know. It's really, it's a neat opportunity for, and it's community theater, like, all the way around. So
yeah, where is the show?
Oh, it's at Rockwell upstairs.
Oh,
Rockwell.
Cool.
Downstairs is being renovated, but upstairs is going to be our show. Yeah, so we're going to do that. It's the first time in that space, so we're looking forward to performing there. And
so
yeah.
Doors are at 8 p.m. and is there a ticket price?
Yeah, the tickets are $15, $10 for students. So yeah, and I think we're on Vendini, but I'm assuming that we're going to sell most of them at the door. So yeah.
That's great. So that's this Saturday night at 8 p.m. at
8.
Rockwell upstairs.
Yep.
Don't be deterred by the actual construction downstairs. So Juno Douglas Little Theater, it's interesting. We were just talking about before we came on air that it's had a bit of rejuvenation lately. There's some new energy and some new blood around the organization. Can you talk a little bit about that, Jeff?
Oh, yeah, for sure. No, we had, you know, the problem was that everybody who was on our board had babies at the same time, so and or grandchildren, right? So like there was a lot of like, we have to go help my kid in Seattle. I mean, so anyway, it kind of now, you know, so we, the last miracle that we did was in March of 2011, so it's kind of like a year and a half ago. So this is, we're almost annual. I don't even know what, we're not biannual, we're like biannual. Like halfway between three and, I don't know, however it happens to be. There are new people have gotten involved. Like I said, we've got Heather Laverne. She's younger. We're getting some more people from in taking part this year from UAS, from the drama club. We have, in fact, Amy's daughter is on my team, is a 13-year-old. So there's just, you know, there's a lot of new faces around and some of the old ones too.
Will there be some new projects coming you know, around the bend here? So you look at, you're going to kind of tackle this one first, and then what's next for
Yeah, we're trying to do a show in the springtime. We're currently looking at work right now, and we want to do stuff by local writers. I think we have a play that we're looking at by Dave Hunsaker we might do, but we're not really 100% sure. We're thinking about it, though. We would like to have one event in the fall and one in the spring, and then also maybe throughout the course of time over the year have readers theater and stuff so that people can, there are a lot of playwrights in this town. There's, it's really, you mention it and like, oh, I'm working on a play. Oh, I've written a play. Like there's a lot of people who've writing plays. I've never seen that before,
yeah.
But it's really neat. And it's a really great opportunity for us to like connect people who would like to do readers theater. Like there's a lot of actors in town who would like to do a show, but can't necessarily commit to a whole show, would love to sit down and do it, and then there's people who have scripts who would love to see them perform live, and it's just like we may as well try and connect those groups.
Yeah, that's great. And so as far as this weekend's miracle, so Amy, what were the, are there parameters given?
Well, there are, there's the theme which will be revealed tomorrow night, and the length is 10-minute script that you're working towards. You have, you know, how many actors and whether they're male and female. I get to ask them if they have any special skills that they might be able to use. So I can write to the actors.
So how many actors are you working with?
Five.
Okay. How male, female breakdown?
I think I have three women and two men, I think. I can't remember exactly. Maybe it's more women, but
I can't either. It's something like that. There's about six people on each team.
Oh, great.
So, yeah.
What have been some of the past pull it out of the hat topics?
Origin was one. First Contact, I think, was another one. Mutual Attraction was another one. I think the last one we did was Far Afield, which was kind of interesting. And we've had all kinds of plays come as a result. There have been many musicals. There have been, you know, all kinds of things. Puppet. We had used some of the puppets and some of the costumes, even from Yeast Nation at Perseverance, came back in one show somehow. It was really kind of like, you know, you don't really know what's going to happen
until the miracle happens.
Yeah, right. And so far, in fact, actually, the real miracle is that this is going to be our sixth year, but in 5 years, there's only been one script. So 5 years, four scripts each year. So 19 out of 20 were completed. The only one time was a script not come in, and then of course your team still has to do a show, so
right.
then they you know improv'd one.
The best improv show ever.
Yeah, I don't know what I really like. So I'm working with Mike Levine. It's gonna be he's directed me my plays all this time. He usually like takes my thing and like cuts out all the like junk that. I wouldn't want. So I really like that actually.
Get edited.
Yeah, it's like, oh, thank you for taking that.
That's the best
that out,
director
and that
in the
out,
world.
And that out. Yeah.
Well, cool. So if people wanted to sign up, get more information about Juno Douglas Little Theater, where can we send them? Is there a website?
Yeah, JD Little Theater, and that's RE Theater, jdlittletheater.org. And we are also on Facebook, and there's info on there. And yeah. I don't know,
Wait.
Even if you don't do it this year, we're going to do it next year. We're going to do it. We're going to be moving from almost annually to actually annually. So, yeah.
I love almost annually. That's perfect. Well, great. Thank you so much. The show is Saturday at 8 p.m.
Saturday at 8 at Rockwell.
Rockwell upstairs. And that's going to be great. You can get tickets at the door and then check out JD
Little
Theater with an R-E
.org.
Amy and Jeff, thanks so much. And, hey, good luck on those plays tomorrow.
Thank you, Shona.
Yeah. Jefferson Starship with a little bit of Miracle. And in the studio with me, I have Bill Merck, and he's here to talk about Friday's Grand Slam, actually Poetry Slam.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's the final. Welcome, Bill.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So for those people who don't know what a Grand Slam is, or for a Poetry Slam even, can you fill us, kind of give us the rundown?
There can't be anybody left in this town who doesn't know what this event is.
It might be that one person.
All right.
I'll
talk to that one person then. Wish Canadier is a poetry group here in town. We started in 2010, offering a forum, a place, a comfortable environment for people to share their works, spoken word poetry. We've been doing it for 3 years. This will be our third Grand Slam, which is actually the poet's reading tomorrow night will be a compilation of the winners from this past season.
And so the season runs for how long?
Year-round. We perform once a month. The third Friday of every month, we get together at a different venue. We have anywhere from 6 to 8 poets competing every event. The winner gets prize money and then gets an invitation to perform at the Grand Slam.
That's great. And so you have the Grand Slam once a year in October usually?
October, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, yep.
And it's really, I come from a down south Seattle poetry slam scene.
Mm-hmm.
And in other communities, they qualify for kind of the big national Grand Slam.
Right.
Is the Juno a qualifying place?
We don't have a team yet. We've
okay.
talked about it. I'm not quite sure what the specifics are of it. Christy Nami Erickson is a little more in touch with that side of it. We'd like to do that. We'd love to put a competitive team together, but we haven't quite got there yet.
Yeah, I think Juno could really be a challenger.
We have some pretty strong writers and strong voices in this community, absolutely.
Totally,
yeah.
Totally. And so the interesting thing, too, that I love about the Poetry Slam here is that you don't actually have one venue. You don't have a space that's like, okay, this is where the Poetry Slam is. And I think it's so unique and actually refreshing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, we started at the Canvas, and we were there for a year, maybe a year and a half. And then we thought, why not just branch out? Because not everybody can get downtown on a Friday night. Let's try and bring the poetry to different venues, different audiences. If you perform in a fire station, which we've done, you have one audience. You go to the Rookery, that's something else. We've had terrific support from all the venues in town. Rookery, before it was Rockwell, it was, help me.
Latinos.
They were a great sponsor. So yeah, lots of different places around town. The library. We performed in the libraries in the high schools. We did one out at the college, which was great. So different venues every month. We try to alternate between town and valley.
And it's cool because it's actually something that under 21 people can join and come to.
Yeah, they can attend. They can perform. We've had performers as young as the age of 8.
Yeah.
It's been fantastic.
That's so cool. And so this Grand Slam is actually tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night at the Jack. We start at 6:30. It's a little different from a normal, quote-unquote, poetry slam that we put together, as in there isn't going to be an open mic, per se, tomorrow. Typically, the event is split up into an open mic in the beginning, a break, and then a competitive session on the end. Tomorrow night, we're not going to have sign-ups. The opening acts will be people, poets in town, who have contributed to the success of the program over the years. We have five or six folks who are the opening acts. We'll perform, we'll take a break, and then we'll get right into the competitive side.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And are tickets available, or is it?
It's pay as you can. Suggested donation, $5 to $10. We're going to have some swag available. We've got a chapbook that we put together, local poets in there. We've got some new T-shirts designed by Rico Worrell, which we're very excited about. So,
cool. Well, let's get we actually have queued up. We have a poet that is actually competing in the Grand Slam tomorrow
right.
night. Can
Guy
you set this up for
Yeah,
us?
Guy Unsicker, one of our winners from the year, will be competing tomorrow night. He's been more and more active as the year's gone on. I think he's a phenomenal poet. We have one of his poems, and I'm not sure what it is, but it's queued up. Looking forward to hearing it.
Yeah, let's give it a whirl here.
Tree Song. I grow like the trees. My direction's not the breeze, but the soul inside of me leans to the light beams. Freezer heat brings anything, but I can handle it. Green leaves every spring revealing life in my rings, steadily adding, never subtracting, and strength is length of time grows like shadows as light goes steadily down. Life is drowned in red waves of strawberry syrup as the evening touches down. Where will I find myself found, called outcast or cut down? Will I ever mind my own mouth, and is the world really round? Because I've found it full of ups and lefts and rights and downtown opportunities. So many choices and communities, the fruit of these questions will never drop. Without times, we'll keep rolling like a cosine, line, intangible, impossible. You can't do all these things that they demand of you. Is it the truth, or just loose, youthful dreams? Like sleuth oars inside of me, saying I can't be Superman or supermanly, because I'll never save the world and love a girl. But if I can save a girl and love the world, it will be good enough for me. Come on, hang your hammock on me. Hide your shoulders from the heat. Speak your secrets in my green leaves like you really know me, and I'll only whisper back whenever the wind blows me.
And that's Guy Unzicker performing tomorrow night as part of the Grand Slam at the Jack. And you said it starts at 6:30.
6:30. And if last year was any indication of what this year is going to be like, we sold it out last year. It was a full house at the Jack. We must have had 250, 300 people there. What a venue, what a great audience to perform in front of. This town is so supportive of the event. It's amazing.
Yeah, and you know, listening to Guy's poem there, there's definitely a style, I would say, of slam poetry. Is that true here?
Yeah, we have a variety of styles. We have some, you know, again, depending upon age group and experience that folks have in poetry, whether you're reading it or writing it. We have some folks who get very emotional. We have some folks who get very angry. We have folks who do a more traditional poetry that maybe doesn't translate as well from the page to the stage. So all kinds of just different exposures. A lot of folks have come through through Emily Wallace classes out at the university. You know, she's a big fan of the group. We've had people with all kinds of experiences. It's hard to say. It's all quality. It's all quality stuff. I don't think anybody's going to be disappointed if they come tomorrow night.
Yeah, and something too, I just like to reaffirm this or kind of put it out there in the universe all the time, is that this is original work.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No accompaniment. There's no music. It's poetry, just pure and simple. That's what it is.
Yeah, and it's all the original poet's original stuff,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, it's so we have the Poetry Out Loud event that is actually kind of getting teens to actually recite poetry that is maybe not, that's not their own.
That's
but
correct.
This is actually a place where people can go and they can go to open mic and they can do their own work. And then here, now they're at the Grand Slams, this is actually kind of tried and true work.
Right, that's correct. And what's impressive is that month after month, people come up with new stuff. It's a great incentive for people to get up there, show us what you got, get up there and do it, perform it. It's always a very welcoming audience. It's a very safe environment. We like to say that it's the most, it's the friendliest competition you'll ever participate in, honestly. All the poets are good friends of each other. We're all very supportive. We just want to see you bring your A game. That's all.
That sounds great. So this is tomorrow night, 6:30 at the Jack. And if people want more information about the Poetry Slam in general, is there a place online where they can
get more? We're on Facebook. If you just Google Woosh, W-O-O-S-H, you'll find us. Our page is on there. A lot of good information. Christine Nami Erickson, you can get a hold of her there. Any of us who are on the board will participate. Any questions that they might have, absolutely. Again, it's going to be fun. There's going to be it's a potluck event. We're going to have food. We're going to have cake. There's going to be a bit of an after party where you can meet the poets, hang out, you know, kind of introduce yourself. And we're all very excited about it.
That sounds like a great time.
All right.
Yeah, well, thanks so much, Bill, for coming on
here
to talk to us.
Hope to see everybody there. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and coming up next here, we'll get to hear a little bit of Garrison Keillor's Writer's Almanac.
Is the Writer's Almanac for Thursday, October the 17th, 2013. It was on this day in 1933 Albert Einstein moved to the United States to teach at Princeton University. He'd been in California when Hitler took over as chancellor, when Einstein's apartment, his summer cottage in Berlin were raided, his papers confiscated, his bank accounts closed. He returned to Europe, handed in his German passport, renouncing his citizenship, and considered offers from all over the world, Paris and Turkey and Oxford, eventually decided on Princeton, though he had his hesitation about Princeton, because it had a quota system in place that allowed only a small percentage of the incoming class to be Jewish. In 1938, a survey was taken among incoming freshmen at Princeton, which ranked Einstein as the second greatest living person, and first place went to Adolf Hitler. It's the birthday of Arthur Miller, the playwright, New York City, 1915. He wrote a play, All My Sons, was a big hit in 1947. Miller used the money from the play to buy 400 acres of farmland in Connecticut, where he spent several months building a cabin by hand. And as he built it, he thought about his next play, which would have a salesman and the salesman's wife and two sons. He knew how it would begin, but he wouldn't let himself get started writing until the cabin was finished. And the next day, he woke up, he started writing, wrote all day, had dinner, wrote until he'd finished the first act in the middle of the night. When he finally got in bed to go to sleep, he found that he was crying and his throat was sore from speaking and shouting the lines of dialogue. The play was Death of a Salesman, first produced 1949, about Willie Loman, about whom Miller wrote, "For a salesman there is no rock bottom to the life. He don't put a bolt to a nut, he don't tell you the law or give you medicine. He's a man way out there in the blue, riding on a smile and a shoeshine." Death of a Salesman has gone on to be the most widely produced play in the world. Here's a poem for today by Bernadette McBride, entitled Flying Lessons. We'd hide in those years, Kate and I, behind the last station in the bio lab, sneaking down from our dorm room, certain Sister Andrea didn't know. Smoking Salems, we giggled above the slant of a copped flashlight shrunk to Lady Chatterley and John Thomas, spirited from the nuns' private library, where we smiled our way by dust cloths and pledge. We lived as sheltered vagabonds then, roaming the convent halls in curlers and bunny slippers, dipping out of sight at the swish of habit skirts, the click of rosary beads. The bed-check patrol we sidetracked with puffed-up pillows buried beneath blankets in the low glow of a Virgin Mary nightlight. Our days opened and shut like the hard-backed books we lugged around in drawstring sacks from class to class, skimming their surfaces like fledglings dipping at the skin of a lake. Only half mindful of the lessons electric in the passion of our teachers, half alert to the gaining weight of our widening minds. Flying Lessons, a poem by Bernadette McBride, from Waiting for the Light to Change, published by Word Press, and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac. Supported by the Poetry Foundation, you can turn your iPhone or Android into a virtual poetry library with the Poetry Foundation's poetry app, available to everyone online at poetryfoundation.org/mobile. Produced by Joy Biles, with assistance from Kathy Roach. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, October 17th, and you're listening to KTOO. My next guests in the studio have really just had a really cool experience that I'm very happy that they're here to talk to me about, and then you'll have an opportunity to talk to them on Monday, which we'll talk about in just a second. But these are folks here from the Juno String Ensemble, and I will let them introduce themselves. And, why don't we start over here?
I'm Elias.
Hi, I'm Diana Antea.
I'm Jaden West.
And I'm Christy Long.
Great. Well, thanks so much for joining me in the studio. So the Juno String Ensemble actually recently went to China. So, Jaden, I'm wondering, can you tell me when you all took this trip? I mean, because it was pretty recent, yeah?
We started the day after school in June.
May.
Oh, the day after school ended.
Yeah. Okay. And we were there for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
In China.
Oh, wow. And so, Elias, before you guys got there, there was actually quite a bit of work to do to even think about this trip, I'm sure.
Yeah. The previous summer, we busked as a group and separately for about 700 hours in all.
Wow.
On the streets of Juno.
Yeah, so for those of us who, you know, are not so, hip to the term busk, what does that exactly mean?
It's where there'd be like three or four of us, and we'd play our instruments on the streets, and very generous people would come by and give us money.
Yeah, and you know, that summer there was absolutely I couldn't go anywhere without actually seeing somebody busking from the string ensemble. And it was just really cool. You said 700 hours.
700 hours and $19,000 later. Yeah, they did very well. They had a sign that said, help us get to China. And they drew a lot of attention, people curious as to why they wanted to go to China. Of course, it was a very wet summer, so a lot of people commented, yeah, I don't blame them for wanting to go to China. But they played very well, and the tourist and the community was very generous. And busking was just one of many efforts we used to get enough funds to go to China.
Well, yes, because there was also a Kickstarter campaign, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and how did that work out for it, and did the goal happen and all of that?
The goal happened, and it happened rather quickly. I'm a big fan of Kickstarter after that experience.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jaden, what's the experience of busking? What's that like for you?
It's interesting because most of the time you get to interact with most of the people. I mean, it's kind of hard to say thank you when you're in the middle of a piece, but afterwards you can kind of interact with the people. The tourists will ask you questions about, like, when are you going? What are you going to do when you get there? Stuff like that.
What is the water do to your instrument? I've always wondered that. I'm like, does it make it sound different or anything?
Not good. No, we had to have the kids hide under various shelters, and a couple of days I just couldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
But again, busking was one of many efforts, and this community really made many individual and corporate donations to our cause, and we were able to raise about $50,000 to send these 20 kids to China and get them back home. And it was an amazing two-week experience. And so we are really looking forward to sharing our stories and our souvenirs and our memories, experiences, and even a little tea with the community to say thank you for helping us get there and back.
Great. So there's a little thank you reception, and there's a slideshow, and that's Monday evening?
Right. Monday at the Downtown Library, we are hosting From the Great Wall and Back, an event at the library from 6:30 to 7:30. The kids will have their tour shirts on and play a few songs that they played in China. We'll also have a sword dance because many of the boys bought swords, including these two sitting next to me. We will have a fan dance, and then several of the kids bought traditional Chinese musical instruments called erhus. And Mr. Shaw has been working with those kids, and they're going to play their erhus and do a traditional song for us. There'll be a fashion show and a narrated slideshow as well to tell the story of this fantastic trip.
That's awesome. So that's 6:30 Monday at the Downtown Library. So, Elias, have you ever been to China before?
No, this is my first time.
What did you think?
It was pretty amazing. When we first arrived in Shanghai, we took a bus into the city from the airport, and there was tons of different colored lights and, like, moving light creations on buildings, and that was pretty crazy.
The light installations there are pretty amazing.
It's otherworldly. Yeah. You look like you were in a Star Wars on a different planet, you know?
Well, imagine a bus full of Junoites arriving in a city of 28 million people.
A little overwhelming. Jaden, your first time?
Yes, my first time there. It was pretty shocking because, I mean, there's big buildings. Like, the IKEA store, when we were coming in, was humongous. It was, like, really huge.
It seemed like it was, like, the size of downtown Juneau.
Yeah. So where did you all play when you were there?
We played in a high school in Shanghai and also a high school in Beijing.
And a middle school in Shanghai as well. And we had the chance to be part of an international festival in Shanghai. It was the International Children's Festival. So we were a part of that. And we were so well received by parents like ourselves who had their kids performing on stage and sharing their talent, and it was great. We, in many ways, we felt a part of the community, and we were so welcomed, and the kids were showered with gifts, and it was just a great experience.
Yeah, Jaden, what did you kind of take away? What was the big learning moment? And I don't know, you're like, why do you ask that? But what did you take away from the experience?
Probably culture. Just the way they did everything was some was the same and some was different. Like just the way they acted was different and the same in ways, like the way that they lived, the style of living, and how they would, some people owned stores. There was, so half of their house would be like a store and they would sell teapots or whatever, and then the back of their house would be their house and they would live there and run the shop while they stayed there.
Yeah, neat. Elias, what about you?
I really enjoyed being able to share music with my stand partner when we played with the Beijing Orchestra. Because
wait, you played with the Beijing Orchestra?
Yeah,
you didn't really. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of big.
Yeah.
So how did that get set up, and like, what was that like, and where did you play?
Our teacher, Mr. Shaw, had connections because he used to live in China, and so he set that up for us.
And so, where did you play? I mean, was it like a huge symphony hall, or?
It was a beautiful hall.
It was a theater. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't quite remember the name, but it was definitely noteworthy.
It was a noteworthy name.
Yeah, it was like the People's Republic of China. I don't know. It was like a big government hall, and you felt pretty special in there. But, yeah, you should finish the story. The standmate was pretty amazed.
He was actually able to speak English, but a lot of the people we played with were not. But we could share our music with them, and that was almost a way to communicate with each other through our music.
Yeah, sure. So as far as what's next for you guys? So you had this, you know, because you worked on China and getting there, and then now you've been there, and now you've got this great slideshow and presentation on Monday night. What else does the Juno String Ensemble do? Like, Jaden, how often do you guys play and rehearse and all that kind of stuff?
Maybe 2 times a week. I think we practice on Saturdays and maybe a few other times when we can fit it in.
Okay. And then do you do a lot of other concerts here, anything like that?
Yeah. We've played for, receptions and openings for different community things. We played at the opening of Fred Meyer's, at the grand opening, like...
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. And so as far as what you'll see, you said you will see a lot of, there's a fashion show and that kind of thing on Monday. And so did the parents take the photos mostly, or is it kind of a compilation of?
Yeah, some of the photos are, well, there are a good variety of photos from the parents and the kids. It's kind of nice. Everybody has, boy, cameras are pretty readily available.
Love the digital age.
So it's fun to see China from the kids' eyes and what they thought was noteworthy. Elias was having a good time in the hallway revisiting some of the signs of the various translations that entertained us so well. There weren't too many signs in English, but... yeah, there were some definitely amusing ones in there. So we'll have a good compilation of kids' slides, Mr. Shaw slides, and mine as well.
That's great. So, Jaden, did you make some kind of lifelong or pen pal partners over there?
This is a funny story. I bought a sword, like Diane said. I bought a sword in China, and it's down this little alleyway, and me and the vendor that sold me the sword had kind of... bargained over the sword and how much it should cost. First, it was like maybe 200 yuan or whatever, and then I left the first time, and I sort of thought about it and stuff, and I come back the second time, and then I leave, and then I come back, and then finally we had gotten it down to about 100 yuan, which is $16 in our money, so I ended up buying the sword, and then I went back and I got my friend Noah, and he came back and he bought this same sword, and not the exact same sword, but he bought another sword, and then I bought another chess set from the guy. So we developed a pretty strong relationship.
Nice.
Yeah, well, it was kind of nice. We even had a young boy from China, China native. He joined our tour. Mr. Shaw's nephew came along, and it was fun to see him
really bond with the kids. He was very shy about speaking English at first, and boy, by the end of the trip, he was really one of the biggest talkers of all. So it was neat to have that personal experience with him, too.
And how many parents and how many students went on the trip?
We were a total of 50 people Juneau.
That's incredible. That sounds like a trip of a lifetime.
Get on the bus.
That's right. So you can hear all about this trip, actually, in much greater detail on Monday night, and that starts at 6:30 p.m. And what was the title of the presentation again?
From the Great Wall, or to the Great Wall and Back.
To the Great Wall and Back, and that's at 6:30 p.m. Monday night. You can hear all about it. What an amazing, amazing trip for the Juneau String Ensemble, who worked for a couple of years getting off the ground, and then just coming to its completion. That's really cool. So thanks so much for coming to talk to me about that. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
You.
Thanks for having us.
And coming up next on Juneau Afternoon, we'll hear a little bit of Bird Note, and we'll be right back with Nancy DeCherney.
This is Bird Note. In autumn, millions of waterfowl stream south. They come from Alaska, the prairies and forests of Canada, the pothole region of the Dakotas and eastern Montana. Their arrival is avidly awaited by birders and hunters alike. Because we value them so highly, waterfowl and the condition of their nesting habitat are surveyed every year. Air and ground crews from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service and the Canadian Wildlife Service conduct the count. They're assisted by state, provincial, and tribal agencies and the conservation organization Ducks Unlimited. In May, biologists and observers fly fixed-wing aircraft at about 150 feet throughout North America's waterfowl breeding grounds. The survey covers more than 55,000 linear miles, representing more than 2 million square miles of the northern United States and Canada. Findings are augmented by helicopter and ground surveys. The results include specific estimates for 10 species of ducks. Those estimates play a big part in determining hunting seasons and harvest limits. With plentiful moisture in many breeding areas, recent years have seen record numbers of waterfowl coming south in the fall flight. But to ensure the perpetual return of this precious resource, the survey crews will be back in the air next May. To see a map of the waterfowl survey areas, begin at our website, birdnote.org.
And welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. My name is Shona Strasser. It's Thursday, October 17th, and you're listening to KTOO. And in honor of the Juneau String Ensemble's great trip to China, we'll hear Ricky Nelson's Travelin' Man.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl. I've a pretty señorita waiting for me down in old Mexico, and if you're ever in Alaska, stop and see my cute little Eskimo. Oh, my sweet Fraulein down in Berlin town makes my heart start to yearn, and my China doll down in old Hong Kong waits for my return.
And welcome back to Juneau Afternoon. In the studio with me, the one, the only, Nancy DeCherney here with Arts Up. Hey, Nancy.
So what happened to Ricky?
Ricky,
he went away.
He went away. Ricky
okay,
got the
then.
Cut.
Okay. Well, you know, there's just so much going on. It's kind of good that Ricky had to
had to go.
Because we got us some busy stuff going on. Okay, starting already from 3 until 6:30 tonight, there are these lights on after school programs happening at Zach Gordon, DZ, and Floyd Dryden. They're having dance and yoga and music and judo and art, all kinds of stuff for kids to do after school, and it's all free.
Oh, how cool.
How cool
is that?
That's
now.
That's now. We could run over to Zach Gordon.
Let's go.
Now. So, yeah, it's really exciting. They'll have some homework help, board games, rock climbing, all sorts of stuff. So go on out to do that. Let's see. Alien Ant Farm is live at Centennial Hall. You can get your tickets at the Viking Lounge or the UAS Rec Center or Hearthside Books. They have free bus transport coming from UAS.
That's so cool. And you've got DNR opening for them, a great local band, and then also Harrison B's opening for them. So you've got two opening bands. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun. So also at 6:30, if Alien Ant Farm is not quite your thing, Celebrate Suzuki Community Concert is happening at the Jack right next door. So we have a couple of new Suzuki teachers in town and a pretty active Suzuki program going on in this community. So it's an opportunity to find out more and get to know the kids and listen to some music, and you can twinkle along if you have that in your background.
Cool.
Yeah. Everybody can do it.
I can twinkle.
Yeah, I can twinkle too. Alaska Day open mic at the Rendezvous at 9 p.m., and they have the pint-sized bus. Have you seen the little pint-sized bus?
I love the pint-sized bus.
They're so cute. Everybody likes small.
Yeah, it's pint-sized.
Yeah. Anyway, they have a free shuttle service from UAS at 8:30 and 10. You must be 21, however. So anyway.
Wait, so there's open mic night at the Rendezvous tonight. Interesting.
That's what it says.
Cool.
Alaska Day.
Oh, yeah.
Because there's a holiday tomorrow.
That's right.
Woohoo. The Gold Town is showing some great films all weekend long. The Spectacular Now, which is described as comedy, drama, romance, and Good Old Frida, which is documentary, bio, history. Various times. So check the schedule.
Nice.
Okay. Friday is Alaska Day, which means that state employees can have a day off. They've been watching the federal employees. Now they're back to work. Thank goodness. And but it's Alaska Day. So there's Halloween fun happening. It's already Halloween at Thunder Mountain High School's Haunted House, Boy Scouts, Goblin Golf, and Helping Hands Halloween Carnival is at Nugget Mall through the weekend. It starts at 5:30 on Friday. At 6:30, Wushkinadier's third annual Poetry Grand Slam.
Awesome. We had Bill on earlier today, and, you know, that's just such a cool event, and I'm really
happy.
It's
very exciting.
Yeah, it's huge.
They packed the house.
I love it.
Yeah, so come on down. That's at the Jack, and it's 6:30, and it's pay as you can. At 7 p.m. at the evening at Egan is The Sinking of the Princess Sophia. It is a Canadian-American disaster. Everybody probably kind of knows the lore, but there's a lot of lore, and you try to maybe we'll weave through which is that and which is the other part. It's free. It's at 7 o'clock.
Where's that at?
It's at the Egan, evening at Egan.
Oh, it's the evening at Egan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And it's backed up with some stuff that Mary Lou Sparks is going to do later in the weekend. Also, she has a Reader's Theater thing happening. We'll get to that.
Yeah.
At 8:30 p.m. out at the UAS Rec Center, it's open mic. Come on out. Do whatever. Gold Town is showing Big Ass Spider. I really don't need to see that.
That's not a documentary, is it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know.
I don't want to see a big ass
I don't want
spider.
To see that.
Yeah. Maybe I do. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Freestyle Friday featuring Dangerous and Cardiac with beats being dropped by DJ Dan Omite is happening out at the Marlantini's at 9
I
p.m.
like when Nancy DeCherney says beats are being dropped. That's my favorite part of today.
Okay, it says that right here. I just read.
I love it.
Okay, super. Harrison B. is live. You mentioned he's in town, right?
Yeah.
Harrison B. is at the Alaskan over the weekend, 9:30 on Friday. At 10 p.m. is more Alaska Day partying at the Rendezvous. They take Alaska Day seriously. They're having Alaska trivia and costume contest hosted by Adam Wood.
Like Alaska-themed costumes?
Well, I guess so.
Interesting.
I don't know how quickly we can get our beards grown, but
I work on mine all the time.
There you have it. You'll be ready. Saturday morning, bright and early, 9 a.m., Auk Bay Community Plan kickoff meetings. This is at the UAS Glacier View Room. 9 a.m., there's an Aware Women's Self-Defense Workshop at Zach Gordon, and it's $10, but you can get some scholarships to that.
Is that what, do you know how long that goes?
No, I don't. Wait a minute, 9 to 4.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's just going to be a really cool course. If you're a woman and you haven't taken a self-defense course, do it.
Do it, and that's not a bad price.
No.
So There's a ceramics class, Beginning Wheel, over at the Canvas. 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. is the market at the mall. Nugget Mall has arts and crafts and farmers markets and all sorts of stuff going on. 11 a.m., I think you talked about this last week, there's the Daughters of the American Revolution. They're organizing a Juno chapter. And
yeah.
you would meet that. There's an address on our website if you're interested in participating in that. At 11 a.m., there's a Thunder Mountain Boys Basketball Vendor Fair fundraiser. I'm not sure what that is, but it's at Thunder Mountain.
Okay.
Pet Fest. Ta-da!
Woofstock!
Pet Fest is where you get to bring your leashed and licensed pets in their Halloween costumes over to the to the Jack. It is more fun than I don't know what. It's free, and there's all sorts of stuff for your pets. So they have the weenie, leave the weenie race, where they scatter hot dogs all along the stage, and then you have to call to your dog, and it has to run to you and ignore the hot dogs. Doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's just not happening. Hot
yeah.
dogs, really? And have you seen some of the costumes that people...
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful. I mean, really, it's really fun. You've got little Elvis dog was there last year, and there's some ballerina dogs. It's just great.
Oh,
you know, it's just
so
fun.
Hilarious.
So if you just need some fun, that's for you. Noon to 4, it's the Halloween Fun, the Haunted House out at Nugget Mall. 1 p.m., Kathy Hawker has a book, When You See Flukes. That's happening at Valley Library. It's free. The Reader's Theater... at 2 p.m., the real story of the sinking of the Princess Sophia is at the State Museum. As I said, that's Mary Lou Sparks. She's written this, and I think it's got 8 people reading. It should be really interesting.
Oh, that's really cool.
This one does not claim to be a documentary.
Mm, it's theater.
It's based on the lore.
Yes.
I think.
Awesome.
Yeah. There's a Juno Special Olympics Spaghetti Feed at Thunder Mountain at 4:30. Ryan Conroe is doing the last two performances of his event. Or his exhibit over at the gallery, the Jack Gallery, at 5 p.m. on Saturday and at 2 p.m. on Sunday. 7 p.m. there's an Alaska Youth Choir concert at Northern Light Church. 7:30 p.m. it's Woofstock at the Jack. 8 p.m. it's Juno Douglas Little Theater, 24-hour miracle conclusion. And then it's Harrison B. over at the Rendezvous. I don't know how we're going to get all this done.
I don't know how it's all going to happen either. I'm hitting a lot of those events, though, and I'm very excited about it.
And it's Music on the Fly. We're having Music on the Fly this month at 6 p.m. It's Impassioned Music Studios. If you're getting on and off the airplane, 67 and 66, I think it is.
What's Impassioned Music Studios?
That is Sandy Fortier's kids, and she will be performing with them. And that's from 6:45 to 7:45 out there in baggage claim or at the end of the elevator. So come on out.
Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm. Sunday, it's free. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
You know, you just sit there and enjoy the music and whatnot. 6 o'clock on Monday, I want to draw we're starting wearable art stuff.
We are so starting. Started.
We have started. So it is meet the director and design team at 6 p.m. Get the lowdown on what's going on. There's some really great and exciting ideas happening. At 6:30 p.m., Juno String Ensemble's presentation to China and back at the library. By the way, the wearable art thing is at the Jack, of course. And let's see, there's a whole bunch of other stuff. How much time do we have left? Any?
Yeah, got a couple minutes. We're good.
Oh, good. Okay. I won't rush then. Goldtown is showing Blood Brother, which is a documentary, and they're going to be live Skyping with the director of that on Monday at 7 p.m.
You know, that's such a cool thing that Colette Costa has been doing at the Goldtown, is actually Skyping a lot with directors after the premieres of films. And it's been really interesting. I've been to a couple of them, and they're fascinating, and they just give you so much more insight than if you're just, like, you know, going to watch a movie.
Yeah, and like you said, it's pretty neat that we are able to do that, because you wouldn't be able to do that in a big, you know, in a big city you might be able to. But anyway, so it's great, and Colette's just been really doing a lot with things over there. Let's see, 6 p.m. on Tuesday, What Would You Burn? Biomass Heat from Austria to Alaska, the Mendenhall Library Meeting Room. It's a free discussion about heat and stuff. They're showing Blood Brother will be shown on Tuesday again. Figurative drawing class is happening with David Woody at the Canvas on Wednesday at 6:30. 7 p.m. it's Astronaut Humor and the Stars Tonight. Now, this says that it's at UAS, but I'm guessing that it's actually at the Marie Drake Planetarium. So we're all going to have to go back to the calendar and look.
Yes.
To be sure of that. So if you're curious about what astronaut humor might be, I brought one just in case.
You have astronaut humor joke?
I do.
Oh, please.
How do you get an astronaut baby to sleep?
How?
Rocket.
Oh.
So that's the sort of stuff that, you know, who doesn't like a bad pun? All right, 7:30 on Wednesday, it's drag queen bingo and karaoke at the Rendezvous. And, you know, we've just got ourselves quite a weekend.
That's amazing. I love it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, and I forgot to mention Barney McClure is starting. He's in town, and he's starting his cabaret workshops on Sunday. They'll go all through the week, and then next Friday there will be the cabaret performance. So
fabulous.
If you've been singing in the shower, now's the time.
Now's the time. Thank you so much, Miss Nancy DeJourney. Always a pleasure. And you're listening to KTOO Juno. We rebroadcast on translators K276 AF in the Mindenhall Valley and Ock Bay, K269 AO in Lemon and Schweitzer Creek, K201 AM in Gustavus, K220 BT in Hoonah, and K210 AS in Excursion Inlet and Icy Strait. In Juno, KTOO is on GCI Cable on digital channel 871. We're also online at ktoo.org. Support for national programming on KTOO comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and listeners like you. Thanks very much. Have a great day.
Push to change it. But don't break it. Don't break what our predecessors spent over two centuries building.
President Obama's morning after message.
Today is...